or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday afternoon service of November the 29th, 1996, at the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Coffees will be speaking this afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Scripture says in chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." And God wants us to lay aside every weight that's besetting us. I was telling the ladies upstairs, and I'll tell you guys down here, while we were praising the Lord this morning, the Lord dropped a scripture in my spirit in John 5, where he said, when Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he told him, go and sin no more. And we find that a lot of times when people come forth to receive deliverance, they'll say, well, I got delivered from that. I can go and, for instance, say alcohol. I can have a little drink, you know. I've been delivered from being addicted to it. And they go right back into it. But Jesus said, when he says, go and sin no more, when you're healed or delivered from something, don't turn around and walk back into it. And if you're not willing to give it up, he won't separate you from it. He will not separate you from your friends. You have got to want to be free. Amen. I see people a lot of times, I also shared this, and it doesn't hurt to repeat it. I see people trying to pick and choose what they want to get free from. Now, I want to give up my alcohol, but, you know, I like to watch movies. On the wrong kind of movies and things like that. I don't give that up. But God said he's called us to be holy people, to be holy set apart people, and we are to walk in what and be what we say we are. And so I wanted to use the scripture to just ask you to check, are you under a weight of some kind? And I believe this weight that he's talking about here are those demons. I say demons. My people like me to say spirit. If I say spirit, you may think I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The demons that are oppressing, that are heavy upon us. And I had a lady say that upstairs to me, are they oppressed or are they possessed? And I said, really, I'm talking about oppression, but what difference does it make? If they're there, you won't get free of them, don't you? We want to be free. We want to be whole. Jesus said, the scripture says, Paul told us over in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, said that he wants us holy, preserved, blameless, spirit, soul, and body until the day of redemption. And so we want to have every part of our being brought back. We want every part. By the way, has everybody here got all their soul? Praise the Lord. Scripture tells us that God wants us to be whole and complete. And so I was sharing upstairs, and before I really get into what I'm going to share on, I'm going to share this. Over in Ezekiel, in chapter 23, I did not teach on it other than just to refer to it. So if you will, go to chapter 13. I want to share just a couple minutes on the spirit that we need, that works in removing the soul. The soul gets fragmented. How many of you ever heard about the fragmented soul ties? And, you know, we can have soul ties. The brother was explaining, I thought it was so great this morning because I saw the soul tie so clearly in it when he was talking about being welded to Christ, you know, the spirit. Well, this I see in the area of we have those type soul ties with people. And there are good soul ties because 1 Samuel 28, I think it is, in verse 1, says that Jonathan and David had a good soul tie. Their souls were knit together. They were tied together. Ladies know how to knit. You know how your threads get all joined together. Well, there's good soul ties where people can be, you can be joined with a good soul tie. My husband and I have a good soul tie. We became one. Scripture says in Genesis 2:24 that we became one. When God made Adam and Eve, they became one flesh. And that's a good soul tie. Well, there are also evil soul ties. Psalms 23 says, He restores my soul. And I came out of the Baptist church, and we were always hearing that the soul had, you had to get the soul saved, go out and get soul saved. And I always wondered why we could go out and talk Jesus to someone, and they'd come in and be baptized into the church, but maybe we'd never see them again. And if a person doesn't have all their soul, you can't get it saved. You can't get all of it saved. And so the soul has been fragmented. Over in Psalm 7, verse 2, said it was fragmented when there was none to deliver. Means it was torn and ripped and shredded. When there was none to deliver, while you were not God's, before you came into the kingdom of God, before you were born again. And so we see that the soul can be removed, be fragmented, be removed. And so I want to share, as I said, in Ezekiel 13, just for a couple of minutes on this spirit of the hunter souls that goes around hunting the soul. The word says, give no place to the devil. Over in Ephesians 4:27. So in here, I'm trying to lay some groundwork, okay? If y'all, are you with me? Okay. In verse 17 of Ezekiel 13 says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy of their own heart and against thou, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women who sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the soul of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars wherewith ye hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. So, see, it's right here in the Word where God is telling us that there is a spirit that goes forth and hunts the soul to make it fly. Now, if any of you know anything, if you ever read any books on witchcraft or Satanism, you know that the witches astral project out of their bodies. You know, everything that God has and that's real, that God has given us, the devil has a counterfeit for it. And so they will astral project that. I don't know anything about how they do it. I just know they do. And then as we see this, they go around.
Go ahead. Keep on.
They go around to put curses on people and to remove. Thank you. To remove their souls. And let me read that scripture in Psalms. I wasn't sure I was going to. I want to go to Psalm 7. Over in Psalm 7. He said, lest thou tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Now, over in Ezekiel, when he was talking about the hunter souls, and he was talking, the scripture was talking about people that died that should not die and people that are living that should not live through witchcraft and Satanism, how the enemy comes in and removes the soul. I'll show you what I'm talking about, okay? In a nursing home, you got someone that is just lying there like a vegetable. They're alive, and they're feeding them, and they're breathing, and they're being taken care of, but they're just there. And this is, I saw so clearly here as I read this, that through this having the soul removed, that no part of that person is there. And so the enemy is using them, keeping them alive. What for? To drain the families out of their money, wear them out. It's used against the family. Keeps them alive. Keeps this individual alive that should die. Okay? And then there are those that dive, as I said, some of the girls upstairs, that dive for no reason. They're fine today and zoom, they're gone tomorrow. I mean, just like that. And so we see that because of lack of knowledge that we haven't known that the devil has removed part of our soul and has put things in us, because he never takes anything from you that he doesn't give you something in return, that it brings sickness and all these other things upon you, then we see people that die from a heart attack that maybe had never had a heart attack before, but simply because or had any heart problems, simply because the enemy has come against them and they didn't know how to resist the devil. And they have not gone forth to call back their soul from where it's been removed. You know, God said he gave us authority over in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. He said, in Genesis 1, he said that he'd given us dominion over everything. Did he not?
Yep.
Well, why aren't we walking like we have dominion? Most of God's people are sick, and we walk around, and you say, well, I don't. Yeah, you do, because the world looks at you, and when you're out in the world, sometimes you get pulled right into everything that they're doing and saying, because you're not able to stand up and resist the devil like God wants you to. We want to be overcomers, but you know, I believe, fully believe, until we get every part of our soul back and get it renewed by the Word of God and believe that Word of God, we'll never walk in what God wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk, as the brother said this morning, in divine health. He doesn't want us sick all the time.
Amen.
And yet we're sick all the time. We have all kinds of things that hit us. I break curse my words. I'm not sick all the time in the name of Jesus. But we have to fight and we have to resist the devil. And why do we not do it? We get passive. I see people that know the Word. I see them that know the Word. That they're quoting it to everybody else, but when it hits them, something hits them, they call somebody else to do it for them. And God wants us to stand up and what he says in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him. Who did they overcome? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their life dear to death. And that tells me that part of loving your life until you... to not deal to them until the death. And you don't give a hoot what people think about you when you stay standing up on the Word of God. I can't help you, brother, if I can't tell you the Word. If you're telling me that you don't believe God, you don't believe God works you, and blah, 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 and all this, and I'm sitting there not saying anything, you think I'm agreeing with you, and I've got to come back and say, so, hey, the Word says it. And it's true whether you believe it or not, or whether I believe it or not.
Amen.
And God wants us to stand up and be a witness to the people that come around us, that they can see, hey, you're not sick all the time, and God's blessing you. Why? Have you ever had anybody walk up to you and say, what is that about you that's so different? Why are you like you are? Sometimes I wonder if they're saying it good or bad, you know?
Yeah.
And I say, well, if you see anything good, it's Jesus. And if you see anything that's not good, it's me. But God wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to walk forth to see, let them make the world jealous. And we're not doing that. Why? Because maybe we don't have all of our soul back. Maybe we're not. Everything God put in us when he put us in the womb, maybe it's not all there. Maybe we need to say, Lord, restore. And I pray, this is my prayer. Lord, you know where every part of my soul is. I want it back. Send forth your angels to restore every part of my soul. You said it in your word that he restores my soul. And Father, you're the only one that can restore it, and you know where it is, and I want it back. I want to be what you created me to be. I want to be that overcomer. I want to have the devil is under my feet, and I want to keep him there. And I want to show others that you don't have to walk in defeat. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to go around with demonic forces in you, driving you. You have authority over them. You don't need somebody to bind you. You need to do it yourself. That's why I asked you if you believed and if you were a believer. Let me tell you, if you are a believer, if you know you can cast a demon out of somebody else, you know you can do it for yourself. You know it. Listen, the more you throw them out of other people, the greater, the more your faith grows where you can believe for you.
Amen.
That you can believe God will do it for you. You know, I learned a long time ago that God is no respecter of persons. And I, when I see God doing something in someone else, I say, God, I want that. And you told me I could have you, no respect for persons. I want to walk in the power and authority of your Holy Spirit. I want to be able to minister to your people and set them free. Don't pray that unless you mean it. Don't pray it unless you mean it. So we need to know that there are spirits. First time I run into a spirit, I told this before. I've told them the 100 souls over here that I got really persecuted about it. And then I had people, not from here, but from another place. And in fact, I got thrown out. I want you to know I got thrown out of the mission. I was preaching in the mission in town, and they threw me out. The guy that was in charge, yeah, I got fired. The guy that was in charge called me up and said, I know you need a rest. He probably was right, but I knew that who was talking to me was the very spirit that I was talking about. And if you come sitting back there saying, I ain't going to believe no woman. Last time I preached, I had a man come against me, and I said, Lord, bless him. And if you sit back there rejecting what I say because I'm a woman, get your Bible, get in it, and read it. And read it. Because in God there's neither male nor female.
Amen.
And He loves us all. And I heard the brother say this morning that we were gonna be the wife of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this not to defend myself, but get you to listen to me. Because if you've decided because I'm a woman, you're not going to hear me. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying, but I want you to get your notebook down and write the scripture down and get in there and find out and say, God, if I ain't got all my soul, I want it. And if there's a thing in me that's called 100 souls, I want it out.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I will. Come on, help me. I'll tell you this. That I also learned, and I was sharing with the ladies upstairs, so I'm sharing with you men. I want you to hear this. Why do you think you look so much like your father? Because you got part of the soul in you. You were in your Abraham's loins when he got paid tithes to Melchizedek. So Levi wasn't, so were we. So you were in your father's loins when he began to lose his soul. And so the Lord began to show me in this area about sickness that in this 100 souls, 10 of the fathers that have visited on the children to the third and the fourth generation, whatever sickness your family was walking in, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, that in the 100 souls, that if a part of that soul, of their soul was there in that their sickness was in you. So how do you know that? Because I went into a demon one time and I learned this from a demon. You say, you listen to demons, you better believe it. When I can find some knowledge, they become my prisoners when I get an authority over them. And they will tell me. It may take a while, but let me tell you, anything we can find to help the body of Christ, we need to believe it. We need to get in it. We need to walk in it. We need to say, Lord, do like I did. I was telling them, when I first saw about it, I talked on the ladies' earrings upstairs. Now, before I get up, go any further, I'll talk on you men's tattoos. You need to get rid of them. You need to ask God to forgive you for them. You marked your body. And if in the girls have got tattoos, they need to ask God to forgive them too. Leviticus 26. I forgot where it is. 19, what's the verse? 19:27. Read it. Because God calls an abomination, you bring a curse upon yourself. And you need to call every demon out that came in through those tattoos. But we need to know what the Word says about us. We need to get our soul back. We need to get the authority. And if as I said, I ran into this in that demon about the sicknesses. And he said to me, and you can believe it or you don't have to. I really, you know, it just really don't matter. I'm going to tell you anyways. I was after the girl came to me for deliverance from sickness. And I was, as I told the girls, I was really tired of working with her because she was always sick and I was always casting spirits off of her. And I was getting the manifestation of the sickness but never getting her free. And so when I asked for the ruler of the sickness to come forth, I commanded him to come forth. This is what came forth. And he told me that every sickness that was in the soul that was in him would manifest in that girl. Do you think maybe this might be a way to help us get healed of a lot of things, to get this out, get those souls out that are not ours? What did your mother walk in? What did your grandmother walk in? And I'm going after I went after my mother's soul in me, because in Ezekiel, I forgot what chapter it is, it says that the daughters are just like the mother. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, we always talk about the sins of the fathers. And I said, Lord, I knew about the sins of the fathers, but I was just reading one day, and it said that the daughter is just like her mother. And I thought, hey, I don't hear any teaching on the daughter being like the mother. It's always the sins of the fathers. Well, now, Lord, if that be so, I want it out of me. So I started calling my mother's soul out of me. evil soul ties. We have good soul ties, and there's like the blood. You can't. I mean, that's part of you. But there are things in that evil part of it that God has given us authority over. But we have to do it. Let me tell you, none of it leaves because you won't just say, you got to go out and won't you? You got to get in there, get into the Word, say, Lord, this is what your Word says. Stand on the Word. And how did Jesus cast that devil? With the Word. He cast out devils with His Word. And you got to find the Word. You got to stand upon it. And you said, Lord, you've given me authority. I have authority over every demon. They're under my feet. They're already defeated. But are they defeated in you? Jesus defeated them at the cross. He defeated Satan at the cross. And the penalty that is on them will be carried out at the end of the age when there's no more time. And so until then, what does the Word say? Say, until He makes His enemies His footstool. And He's given us authority. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We say, Lord, do this. Lord, do that. He says, I've already done it. And I've given you the authority to take care of it in your life. You do something about it. And we say, oh, Lord, please. Please, Lord, please. He said, why don't you get up and shake that thing out and run him off? Why are you begging? I've given you power and authority. He said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Now you go in my name and you make disciples. You cast out devils. He didn't say he was going to do it. He said, you go. I've given you my authority and my power. Now you go do it. Say, well, I don't really think it's necessary. I'm full of Jesus. You asked, was it you asked last night, are you full of the Holy Ghost? I said, yeah, but I leak. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost, but I leak. I got cold, you know. But one day. And I tell you, people, God is wanting us to stand on His Word, to believe the Word. You know, the Word's true whether you believe it or not. It's true whether you believe it or not. And if you're not walking in it, acting upon it, you don't believe it. And so He says, you go in my name and you do it. And so we begin by calling our soul back. And I want the part of my soul back where the devil has given me unbelief. You see, unbelief kills the Christian. And because we have that in us, we need to get it out. And we need to get that part of our soul back so we can believe the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm preaching to you today. I'm sharing with you the Word today. I want you to grasp hold of you. Say, well, I got it. Well, it's like I wanted to come up here and preach. Do you really know Jesus? Or do you just know about Him? Do you really know Him? If you died tonight, let's find out. Say, well, I know Jesus. He's the Son of the living God. The devil's knowing they believe and they tremble.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to give you the Baptist version of this. I think I will. If you died right now and you went into heaven and they asked you, the angels or someone asked you, what are you doing here? What right do you have to be here? I said, well, I'm saved. I joined the church. I've been baptized. I'm saying this really to make you think. If you met Him right now, would you be ashamed? You see, we know about a lot of things. Now, I was using that just to illustrate that we know, you know the Word. You've heard it. But it's really not yours till you walk in it, till it becomes real to you.
Amen.
And I believe that part of the reason we don't is because we need to ask the Father to restore our soul. Father, put in me the soul that you put in me when you created me.
Yes.
Put in us, Father, that which you created. When you made us and created us in our mother's womb, restore our souls in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, when we receive all of our soul and then we wash it with the water of the Word, then we get our souls saved. We have that seal upon us when we have the mind of Christ. God wants us to have the mind of Christ. So the devil, why would you not think the devil would work on your mind? The soul is the mind, will, and emotion, personality, the appetite. I think the five senses is part of the soul. I really think it is. And so what would the devil work on most would be the soul, to keep you from believing the word and being, having the mind of Christ. When we get it restored, and then we can see that we're not walking where we should be walking.
That's right.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, He came for this purpose, was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And so then He gave us the authority and the ability to do it. He said, you go and you do it. And so, well, since I've been on the soul, I'm going to continue on the soul. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. There's so many ways, many things I want to share because I know that deliverance, you know, I know deliverance is life to me. It's life to me, and I firmly believe that deliverance is so important to me in my life that if I ever gave it up, that I would not live. I'm almost 70 years old, and I know the devil would like to just wipe me out, but I'm not going to let him. I'm going to live and not die and cast out devils and declare the glory of my God. I'm going to be casting out devils when Jesus comes. I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to see God's people free. I'm going to keep preaching and yelling at them until they listen, and the Spirit of the Lord takes that and gets in their spirit and they say, hey, I want some of that.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. Now, the word says here in verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul.
Uh-huh. Come on.
So you see, through sins of the flesh, through adultery, and everybody in here knows what adultery is. And every person you've ever committed adultery with, a portion of your soul has gone into that person and a portion of their soul has come into you. And you have a soul tie with them. And it's an evil soul tie, and the Word of God says it destroys the soul. So if you have walked in those shoes, if you have done that, you need to repent of it. You say, well, I've repented of it. Have you broken an evil soul tie with that individual? Have you asked the Father to restore your soul from you? And have you asked the Father to take that soul out of you and send it back to where it came from? We learn about breaking soul ties. I'll tell this. I'd known about soul ties for years, but I didn't know the soul could be removed until I was ministering to a girl in our church. And I was so sick of ministering to her. I'm sorry, I was sick of her. I was. I couldn't get her. I couldn't get her saved. And I'd preach salvation to her. I'd say, you got to know Jesus. I know God. I know God. God this, God that. And I said, what God are you talking about? But I couldn't get her saved. At least I kept telling her mother, I said, she doesn't know Jesus. I said, all I ever hear talk about is God. And so, she was 36 years old, 38. I forgot. She's up in her 30s, late 30s. And I ministered her. Listen, people, I'm really smart. I've been ministering her for 7, 8 years, trying to get her saved. But I didn't understand why I couldn't get her saved. It's the Spirit of God had to draw her. Well, she... This is the door every time the church opened, the door opened. She's at the church every time the door opened. Sitting on the front row most times. I was wanting her to get to the back. And maybe out the door. I'm sorry, I'm being honest. And so I was doing deliverance on her one morning. And I don't even remember how this happened. But I was, after whatever she was, and we were doing deliverance on her. But you see, this one said I was so smart. Everything I threw out came right back in. I would do deliverance on her tonight and Sunday night be back on. And see, this one I tell you, you don't do deliverance on a lost person. Okay, I'm smart. It took me a long time, but I learned this. But anyways, to make a long story short, she said, we were doing deliverance on that night, and for some reason, someone other, I do not remember how it happened, but a demon manifested in her. And I don't remember who he was or anything. Yes, I do too, all of a sudden. Thank you, Lord. He was a king over her soul. I didn't even know there was a king over the soul. I said, this demon manifested. I said, who are you? And he said, I'm going to tell you nothing, you stupid old woman. Even the demon knew I just wasn't real bright at that time. But praise the Lord. But he said, I said, yeah, you will. And it went through the rigmarole, and I said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm ruler over her soul. He said, don't you know why you couldn't get her saved? And I said, no, I don't. That's why I won't know who you are. He said, when we brought her, when she came to your church, because she had no soul, but just a tiny bit, said, we almost had all of it. Said, in a little while, we would have had it all, and she would never been saved. But said, she's been in your church, and said, you don't even know what you've been doing. I thought, well, no, I just really am tired, Lord. I was telling Lord, I really was tired. He said, you've been gradually getting her soul back. And he said, she's got enough of her soul back. She's almost got it all back. And said, if it hadn't been this blank-to-blank church, said we'd have had her. Said she had been ours. And so this is when I found out the soul could be removed. And I praise the Lord for it because it makes so much sense. People that have been on alcohol and drugs, been in prostitution, adultery, have lost portions of their soul.
Even fornication.
All of this. And you see them, and people, I tell you this, about some of your children, if your children have been on drugs and alcohol and they don't seem to be interested in God, start calling their soul back. Because this is what you've got to do before you can get them saved. But that's where I found out the soul could be removed. And here we see adultery takes away, destroys the soul. Portions of the soul is removed through adultery. You know, these sins that we commit, that are committed, are just opening the door for the enemy to do more and more to us. And we don't look at sin, or have not, maybe you do now, but have not looked at sin like God looks at it. He hates it.
Amen.
And he tells us that when we sin, we are giving place to the enemy. Okay? Okay, let's go on. Psalms 19, I want to share a little bit on converting, restoring the soul. You know, we read these things sometimes, and just like for years that I had read Psalm 23 and said that God restores my soul. Well, when I got saved, I thought, you know, that's what it meant. So in Psalms 19 and verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And that word converting is restoring. I have a footnote on mine. If you look it up in your concordance, it says it's restoring the soul. The law of the Lord, what is that? That's the Word of God. The Word restores our soul. The more you get into the Word, the more you read it, the more you believe it, the more restoration of your soul you begin, your soul becomes enlightened, your mind becomes enlightened, you begin to understand the Word, you begin to see the Word. See, this girl couldn't understand salvation. She didn't have her soul. She couldn't understand it. And she was talking about God. She had nothing to believe with, and she would talk about God, and I didn't know whether it was, you know, which God it was. It could have been the Lord of the Flies for all I know. But when she got her soul back, let me tell you something. That girl today, God has really done a work in her. She came into church a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I want to give testimony. She said, I have yielded everything in my life to the Lord. I am going to serve the Lord, and I'll tell you one thing. When I get free from this, there's something right now we're working on in her. When I get free from this, I am going to work in deliverance. And I pray we got the thing out of her, the last thing, which was, I know. I'm just trying to decide if the Lord wants me to share that. I will. King Tyrus, which was king over her flesh. This thing manifested as she had been having some physical problems, bladder problems, I'll tell it like it is. And I had just kind of ignored it because I'd been working on other things, and I don't know, maybe when I get through I'd forget it. I really don't remember why I never did even think to go after it, just give her, to minister to her. She's sitting there after we worked on her the other night, we was getting something off of her, and she said, Mildred, do you think when I get this thing out that I'll be rid of this bladder problem? And I said, I don't know. I'm not God. Sit down. And she sat down, and I said, you that's doing that to her, that's messing with her bladder, putting pressure on it, manifest yourself and come out of there. And all of a sudden, she began to kind of growl at me. And the demon came forth, and so I said, who are you? And he said, well, you call me up. And I said, well, come out of her. And then I asked him, he wouldn't tell me who he was. So Jim and I were sitting there, we were ministering to her, and it was really funny because I really didn't want to mess with him. I was tired. I'd been in deliverance for a long time, and I was ready to go home. So I thought, Lord, heal her. let me get out of here. You know, that's really what I was thinking. And when he started, he was yelling, that demon was yelling at me, he's so mad. Well, I hadn't done anything but just call him up. And so I was sitting there laughing, and he got, Jim and I both were laughing, and it just made that thing matter. And, like, you know, who do you think y'all laughing at me? And I said, oh, demon, come on now. I don't care who y'all, you got to go anyways. And he said, who do you think you're talking to? I said, you. He said, I'm not a demon. I said, oh, yeah, y'all, come on out of there. He said, well, believe what you want to, but I know who I am. I wanted to know who he was, and I began to ask the Lord. And he, that demon said to me, he said, you stupid thing, said, you're always reading about me. But said, we won't let you believe. Said, we put so much pressure on your head that you can't, your mind, so you can't comprehend what you're reading. And I thought, what have I been reading? I've been reading Ezekiel. I've been reading Revelation. I've been reading Daniel. And I was mentally making a mental chart of where I'd been in the last few couple of weeks, just really digging. And I was thinking, oh, I said, oh, you're a prince then. He said he was a ruler. And I said, you're a prince. He said, no, I'm not. I'm higher than that. I said, well, you're not Lucifer. And I said, Lucifer's the highest. He said, no, it's not. I said, you don't know anything about demon world, which is true. Y'all may not be interested in this, but I'm very interested because I think we're going to run into a key right here of getting people healed and delivered from a lot of stuff. But come find out, through some of the things he said, I said, you're a king? You know, I was questioning because I thought the prince was the highest power in the demonic world. And he said, yes. And I'm way up in Lucifer's army. He also told me he came from the bottomless pit. But he wouldn't tell me what king he was. And I remembered Ezekiel. The Lord brought that to me, and I just opened my Bible and started reading it. And I said, you're king of Tyrus. Are you Lucifer? And that's what I was thinking to myself. Is he Lucifer? But the thing was, to make a long story short, he said, when you ever find out really who I am and how I work, he said, you can get a lot of people delivered. And so I want you to know I've really been digging into this. But he is the one that's working in the flesh. He's ruler. He's king over the flesh. He said, I work in the flesh. And so we went after it, and I started to tell you what she said. We believe it came out. We'll see. I'm of the ones, wait and see. If there's no difference, there's no deliverance. But she came back in the church on the next day, and this is what was good the next time with the services, what was so good to me. She got up and gave testimony of how great it had been since that night. She said, God is so real to me. And said, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Said, I have told the Lord, I've committed all to him. Said, I am going to do deliverance. And I want you to know, we put her in deliverance that night. She was working on somebody else. And I'll tell you what, the lady she worked on called me a couple of days later. I think it was, she called me Tuesday. She said, I just got to call and tell you, I feel great. Said, I don't know what came out of me the other night. This is the lady that the girl worked on. Said, I am really feeling good. I said, well, praise the Lord. So I'm telling you, people, God is showing us some things because he's doing a quick work, and not 7 years like I worked on that woman to find her soul was gone. And I'm sharing with you things that he's given to me. You may not, as I said, you may not really be interested in them, but I pray you are because you get in there and you dig and you see what God will show you about this king over the flesh. Let's find out how to get people delivered quickly instead of it taking forever to do it. Amen? Okay, I read Psalms 19, verse 7. Let's go to Proverbs 11. Verse 28 says, now wait a minute, verse 30 is the one I want. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Bring him back. Let me show you. I looked up in my concordance. Bring it back to where it came from. Let me give you the, if I can find it. To bring back, to fetch, send for. He that winneth souls. So if you're calling people souls back, the scripture says you're wise. I looked at that restore the soul, the one I just read over there in Psalms 19. He said, restore means to return to the starting place. What did I say? Put in us the soul that was put in us, Lord, when you restore our soul to where the one you put us when you created us. He said to restore it. Bring it back to the starting place, to fetch it, to rescue it. Did you know the devil's not going to give it up easy? Did you know that? He took it because he wanted it, and he's not going to give it back to you just because you blink an eye. And so there may be a battle. And when you said, do you remember Daniel and the prayer, what happened when his prayer was 3 weeks and been answered? That the king of Persia, a prince of Persia, whoever, blocked his answer from coming forth. Am I boring you all? Anyway, you see that it was a battle before Michael had to come and help him. And the Lord reminded me of this. And so there are warrior angels that I call upon. People tell me I can't do this, but it's too late. I've been doing it for years. And I said, Lord, send your warrior angels to go with the angels that goes to bring my soul back and to do battle to free my soul to bring it back to me. Because the enemy, as I said, is not going to give it up easily. Let me tell you this, and let me say this. For years, when I learned about the angels, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I learned about that we have authority, we can call upon the angels of the Lord, Hebrews 1:14. I heard the brother mention this morning, says the end time. I said, that is so true, that we can call upon the ministering spirits. The ministering spirits, and angels are ministering spirits, send forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Psalms 103, verse 20, says that the angels hearken unto the word of God. They hearken unto God's word. So it's God's word. And I said, Father, your word declares it. So I ask you to send forth your angels to bring back, to do what they're. I call for the angels of the Lord over my church at night when I'm preaching, or in the mornings or whenever I'm preaching, to do warfare, to drive off the evil spirits that are over my church. And every time I've ever shared on angels up here, someone will come up and tell me, and I'm going to tell you this, don't come up and say anything to me about it, because I want to hear that. What if you get evil angels? And the Lord gave me a scripture to give you, so I'm going to give it to you. In Luke 11, when we've used the scripture in praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says if a child asks for bread, would he give him a stone? And if he asks for a serpent, would he send him? Well, anyways, I can't remember how it goes. But anyways, if you ask God for the good things, do you think he's going to send you the bad? No. When you ask the Father, God's not going to send you a devil. So why should you be concerned about it? He said, well, one lady came in and said, because everybody's talking about angels. I thought, yeah, they're talking, most of them are talking about the wrong kind because they don't know what we're talking about. But you stay in the scripture. You stand on the word, and you're not going to have to worry about the angels that God's going to send to protect you, because he's going to send his angels.
Amen.
If you're God's child and you believe in him, he said the angel of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. And he's given us angels to do battle, and we need the angels of the Lord. Let me ask you something. What are demons? They're spirit, aren't they? What I want you to say is spirit. They're spirit. What can you do against a demonic force with your flesh? You're in trouble if you try. We have to use spiritual weapons. We use the words, the equipment God has given us, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God, and the angels of the Lord. And the Word of God. The Word is Spirit. Because we've got to fight them in the area of what they are. You try to fight them in the flesh and they'll walk all over you. So he's given us authority. He says, and he that winneth souls, calls back the soul. Children, listen, these little kids around here, little children around here, need to be protected. You need, mothers and fathers need to minister deliverance to those children. Listen, it's a lot easier to get rebellion out of a child when he's that size than he is when he's 30.
That's right.
And let me tell you something, every one of them's got rebellion in a mother's. Get it out. Don't let it stay there. You've got authority. Throw that young one down on the floor and call that thing off of them. We did that with my little granddaughter. Of course, it took five of us to hold her down. She's 5 years old. It took five of us. But we got rebellion off of her. And if you don't do what you know to do, see, you're not doing the word, and you're really sinning against God, because he's giving you authority over your children. And you can lose a sound mind to them. You can lose the blessings of the Lord. You can lose retentive spirits. Listen, we pray over our kids before they go to school. We lose retentive spirits so they can retain what they learn in school. And we bind the enemy off them. We ask for the Father to put angels around them to protect them. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And you need to do this. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of people knowing it and they won't practice what they know. And our children are being destroyed because we're not standing in the gap. I wish to God I had known the things I know now when my children were small. I have four kids, and three of them are walking with the Lord. I have another one that's not there yet, but he will be. But God has given us authority, and we need to believe the Word and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen? Okay, let's go on.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.